Welcome back, everyone, to Aspire, the Leadership Development Podcast, where we will be discussing the visions, inspirations, and experiences from top educational leaders. My name is Joshua Stamper, and you can connect with me on Twitter or on Instagram at Joshua_Stamper. This week, I'm so happy to be joined by Adam DeVico. Adam is an accomplished teacher, principal, speaker, professor, and co-author of The Limitless School. Adam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, man, of course. Thanks for having me.
And Adam, as you know, the show is centered on leadership development. I would love to hear your personal leadership journey and how you became an administrator.
Sure. So funny enough, I guess it dates back to maybe early 2000s when I was in college. And we had to do one of those essays that we all had to write back in college of like, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And, you know, I'm 20 at the time or 21 at the time. And I wrote an essay that literally said in 10 years, I expect to be a principal. And I suppose that was a lofty goal at the time, being 20 and had never actually taught in my life yet. But that was my goal at the time. And I definitely found myself in this journey where I went from a classroom teacher. I started off my career as a fifth grade teacher and then continued it down into Charlotte, North Carolina. So I've been in North Carolina a lot of my career and went into the middle role. I was a curriculum coordinator. So in between that teacher and admin role, and that gave me a good insight into the coaching model and the admin world without having that administrative practice yet. And then I got a really cool opportunity to teach at a place called the Ron Clark Academy in Atlanta, Georgia. And through that, I learned about a little bit more just how schools run and operate. It's a small school, so you get a much more hands-on approach to being just inside the workings of the school, even though, I mean, it's not my school, but I really got to see how everything worked, right, you know, alongside Ron and Kim Bearden, the co-founder. And then as a part of working at the Ron Clark Academy, they gave me a really great opportunity to be the school implementation specialist, which meant I got to travel across the country and visit schools. I've been to over 250 schools in somewhere around 33, 34 states. Oh, wow. And through that, I've been able to see education from every lens, from every angle, from elementary school, middle school, high school, rural, you know, middle of nowhere, middle of the cornfield areas, all the way to massive cities. So being able to see lenses of education and working hand in hand with principals. So even though I wasn't an administrator at that point, I really got to work with administrators and see what kind of goes into that leadership role. And then I got a chance after that to work as a college professor. And through that, I really learned how to work with adults. I know we call college students students, but they're kind of mini adults. I mean, they're getting toward that age of working. I mean, I supervise student teachers, so they were just kind of one off from that real world. So I got to really hone in on my teaching and working with adult skills. And so all these different experiences kind of came together to eventually, it wasn't the most traditional role, I admit, but eventually come together and get me into this principal role. And I was never an assistant principal. So I admit I missed some of the nuts and bolts of what I know assistant principals do. And I've had to kind of play catch up over these past 12, 14 months on what that looks like. But ultimately, all these unique experiences over the past 15 years have really led me to kind of come into this principal with a unique perspective.
So with the experience at the Ron Clark Academy, what were some of the items that you saw or concepts that you brought with you as a principal?
Yeah, so I'd say number one, hands down, was building a positive school culture. That school, for anyone who's ever been there, prides itself, runs itself about a positive school culture. And I mean, I could talk to you for the next 4 days about what that looks like, but ultimately it's really about the relationships. It's about relationships between the adults and the families, between the adults and the kids. Every aspect of it is about relationships. And through that, you build that positive school culture. I'll say the other part of it, if I had to really narrow it down, one would be culture. The other part would be community resources. Ron Clark Academy is a private school, and so they really depend on how to bring in outside people to support your school. And even though I'm a principal of a public school now, I've really brought that with me as a means for giving my school more resources, extra exposure. I love bringing in people to just check out my classrooms. My teachers had to have a little bit of a learning curve on accepting people in their classroom. You know, teaching is sometimes a very private practice. And so I had to really train my teachers early on to say, no, our doors are going to be open any day of the week. You might have someone pop in there. And that's not an aha got you thing. That's actually a let's celebrate thing. Let's show what we're doing. Be proud of what you're doing. So I would say those two things are two of the biggest takeaways that I took away from my time at Ron Clark Academy and have now been able to bring over to my own school.
And so you didn't have a traditional pathway, but when you first became an administrator, what was the largest misconception as you began your experience?
Oh, I thought everyone was going to just love me. I thought everyone was just going to, I was going to say it and people were going to do it and it was going to be fantastic. That was idealistic and a bit ideological, but I had to learn very quickly that not everyone buys in right away. Not everyone is going to believe in your vision. And so I had to do a lot of modeling and coaching and relationship building, kind of like what I said before, just like we talk about it within the school. I had to build relationships with my teachers to show that, yes, I am a little bit crazy, but perhaps I have a couple of ideas that we can bring with us from my experiences into the table. But my biggest misconception, hands down, was just that, you know, everyone was just going to do it just because I said it. And it doesn't work that way.
And so it's often that on Twitter or on Facebook, we can find you dressed up in crazy outfits. What started that practice and why did you decide to dress up in all those costumes?
Yeah, so I always joke around whenever I do speeches or workshops that when you sign your name to that contract as a teacher, one of the fine print pieces at the bottom is you lose your shame. You, as a teacher, you just lose your shame. And whether that means dancing, singing, or for me, dressing up in crazy suits and costumes, it's just part of the fun. And, you know, I'd argue if you can't have fun being an educator, I don't know what you can do. I mean, it's one of the most enjoyable kind of professions, and you're with kids who like to have fun. And so that practice of wearing those crazy suits and crazy outfits, which I've been doing for a long time, I guess just now with the blast of social media, and I guess I have a little bit more of a social following now, people see it more, but I've been doing it for 15 years. So it's just part of who I am and having a little bit of fun. And yeah, it gets people's attention. And oddly enough, you know, it's funny, the kids at this point, especially kids who were with me last year, they're kind of like used to it now. So they're not as shocked as they used to be. And some of them even like ask about it now. They're like, hey, when are you wearing that, you know, your emoji suit? So it's not, the shock value is not there as much anymore. Parents, however, still love it. I can't tell you how many times whenever I wear a suit to school, parents, because I stand outside for car rider line in the morning to greet the students, I'll have parents that are literally driving by with their cameras, videotaping me or taking pictures as they're driving of whatever I'm wearing that day. But it's about the buy-in, it's about having some fun, and just building that positive school culture.
And I want to bring back to the item where you talked about building rapport with the community. What are some ways that you do that?
So last year, obviously last year was my first year as a principal, and what I did was during the summer before the school year started, I actually walked around. I'm very fortunate, I'll say that right now, I'm very fortunate to where my school is geographically. I have hundreds and hundreds of businesses within probably a quarter mile, half mile of my school. So I'm just going to admit that now. I'm very fortunate, but I want to use that. I mean, because I don't want to let that opportunity go away. So I actually took about 3 days and I walked around to around 100 businesses. And all I did was introduce myself, say, hey, I'm the new principal right down the street. And I gave them a flyer. And the flyer welcomed them to, I called it Community Day. And it was in the middle of September last year. And it was just an open house kind of thing for the school. Because I said to every one of them, I said, I know you drive past this school every day. I know that. But how many of you actually know what's going on inside of it? And so we had a really good turnout, and community members came in, business owners, and several of them became kind of partners throughout the year. Many of them were able to offer either items or services, whatever the case may be. And so I wanted to continue it this year. And so actually next Tuesday, September 11th, we have our first PTA night. And I didn't walk around this time, but I mailed a letter out to all these businesses. We sent about 125 letters out to local businesses and invited them to just have a table at our PTA night. And I said to them, you know, you can't really sell anything that's against our policy, but hey, you can be there, meet the community, give some handouts, some coupons, some giveaways, and you know, help yourself, help you, help me. Mm-hmm. And I really want to build this as a community.
And as a lead learner, how are you able to instill consistent discovery and growth with your staff?
So I believe in modeling. I think that's one of the most important things any leader can do. And so I teach weekly. At a minimum, at a bare minimum, I have every Friday, I have morning rally. And so that's when I bring all my students together in the gym. And I do a series of, I do character ed, I do positive school building. We do school-wide celebrations. So at a minimum, I have everyone each week on a Friday morning, but I try to bounce into the classes as well. And I'll usually just meet with a teacher usually the day before or that morning, say, hey, I've got a 30-minute window in my day. I'd love to come in, pop in, let me know what you're doing there in this time. And I'll just take over the class. Usually, 30 minutes, I'll just teach. And so it's my way of, giving my teachers a break because they deserve it. But more importantly, showing that I will never ask you to do something that I won't do myself. And so as kind of that lead learner, I'm going to bounce in there and do it too. And you know what? I may struggle. I may have an awful lesson, and that's okay, because sometimes those are the best opportunities for my teachers to show, A, I'm human, and B, we all don't have a great lesson every day.
How do you provide feedback back to your teachers?
So I actually do walkthroughs daily. I made about 6 walkthroughs today. We have a Google form. We use Google Forms on our phones. Myself, my assistant principal, my instructional facilitator. We all do walkthroughs every day. And I try to make it through between 3 and 6 classrooms a day. Usually spend about 10, 15 minutes in each classroom. And we have a Google form that gives immediate feedback. As soon as I press send, it goes straight to that teacher and gives me a recorded copy. And so there's a little bit of documentation. But we have look-fors this month. We're looking for small flexible groups and kind of some Kagan strategies, time pair share. So we try to be very direct and specific in what we're looking for. And not every lesson will have that. Right. But overall, we have some things that we really want to give feedback on. So that's how we operate daily. I love being in classrooms. I think it's really important for the students to see me, that I'm in the classrooms. They know my name. I know their name. And for the teachers too, to show that when I do your formal observation, this is not the first time I'm seeing you teach. Because I know that's a big complaint from a lot of teachers. And so I never want to have that happen.
I know it's a little bit different for elementary students, but mm-hmm. What do you do on your campus to increase student voice?
It's kind of Harry Potter-ish. And this is something I got from the Ron Clark Academy. So I got to give credit where credit is due. But we have a house system. Our houses, we have 5 houses, and all 5 of those houses have house leaders. And so that's kind of like our student government in a way. So on the grand scale, we have some of those student leaders in 4th and 5th grade that, give us opinions and thoughts. And I bring them into my office sometimes, and I'll just kind of pick their brains. I also have a group of very, very, very special 5th graders that I call the ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And those ambassadors are my eyes and ears of the school. They are my everything. They're my right-hand team. I'm really big on social interactions, face-to-face skills, making a positive first impression. So those ambassadors, I have 7 right now, and they greet people. They do meet and greets with me. They do community events. They'll even do speeches with me once in a while. And those students are really the I call them the face of the school. That's how important they are to me. And I really value what they say, their opinions. They, they're kind of inside that kid voice. I listen to what they say.
And what are some characteristics that you believe every leader should possess in a similar position?
Oh, man, it's a tough one. I think listening. You got to be a good listener. Being open to criticism yourself. And that was one of the hardest things to build up, was that really thick skin. And I definitely had some conversations with some of my former bosses. Just get some advice on how you build that thick skin, because it can hurt sometimes. Every decision you make, someone is going to disagree with. No matter how great you think that decision is, someone is going to hate it. And so whether it's a parent, a teacher, a boss, a student, just getting okay with not making everyone happy. Another trait I'd say would staying level-headed. There's things that can really get to you sometimes, and you just have to remain calm and keep that level head, because people need it and people expect it and people deserve it as well.
What is the one barrier that you can think of that kind of hinders healthy school culture?
Fixed mindsets, hands down. It's the adage, and I'm sure you've heard it before. We do it, if I go into a school and say, tell me about this. Well, we've always done it this way. Sometimes that's a good thing, because there's some great traditions that exist at schools. But, there's also some things that can improve. There are things that can be better. And the old adage of we do this because we've always done it this way is a very fixed mindset. When you change that phrase to we've done this for a long time, let's evaluate it, you've now moved into that growth mindset. And that's when conversations can start. And look, times change. I mean, the thing that worked 30 years ago at your school may not be the best practice right now. And so I think when we're talking about school culture, when we're having complaints or disagreements or arguments about, why is it so negative or this huge turnover rate, we need to step back and say, are we doing things differently? Because you know the definition of insanity. It's doing the same thing today that didn't work yesterday and expecting different results today. By admitting that, yeah, sometimes things do need to change, I'd say that's the bridge from going from that fixed mindset to the growth mindset.
And when you began your administrative experience, what was one area you wanted to change in education?
In education, I would say what can be done. I take this again from my Ron Clark Academy experience, because so many times, I mean, while I was there, I was face to face with probably over 20,000 educators. And one of the most common phrases that I would hear either in passing or very directly to me was, this is great. I love this. It can never be done at my school. And you're right. You're most likely not going to get a two-story slide. You're most likely not going to have a school of 120 kids. You're right. But what are the things that you can do? What are those things that you can take away from this experience? Because it's a fantastic school. It's a fantastic model for things that could be done when you think about how it can be put into your context. And so I've been able to bring in things to my school of about, I have about 600 kids, but you know what? There's a school out there with 2,000 kids that needs to think about how can it work for them. And so for my goal as an administrator, in terms of what would I push for education, is think about how it works for you. And luckily I have a little bit of a social media platform where I've been able to share my ideas, and I get messages all the time about people that say, you know, I love this idea. Can you help me think about how I can do it in middle Texas or middle of nowhere, North Dakota? And, you know, I think that's great. I love conversing with people on brainstorming how it could work for them.
In addition to your admin position, obviously you're an author and very active on social media. How did you find your voice beyond the campus?
So it actually started off with just a lot of plane rides. As I was traveling for what seemed like days and days and days at a time, I was spending my life in airports and hotel rooms and rental cars. And I just found myself having time to fill time. I would just start writing, and it wasn't about anything specific. I would just write about things that happened 10 years ago, things that would happen the week before. It wasn't in any particular order at that point. It was just writing down stories, writing down ideas, writing about moments. And eventually it became, you know, something I could organize a little bit better, something I could turn into what became my first book, Inside the Trenches. But really just started off as just filling time. And people ask me now, like, oh, how do you write a book? It seems so daunting. It seems so overwhelming. And I just say, just start writing. I mean, there's no right or wrong place to start. So when you just start writing, who knows? Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't.
And for those who haven't had the opportunity to read The Limitless School, can you describe how the book may help our aspiring leaders?
Sure. So the Limitless School, which I wrote with my buddy Abe Hagee, he's actually a first year principal now. So he and I joke around all the time. We actually wrote this book. He and I wrote this book before becoming principals. But now that we both are principals, and I kid you not, no joking aside, we are using our own book as our own guide for being a principal. And so I don't know if that's a testament to what we wrote or not, but we are using our own book as our own guide for being a principal. But this book is all about building a positive school culture. It's about taking whatever you're given as a school leader, as a teacher, as a community member, as a board of education member, and building a positive culture. And so sometimes it's about transformation. Sometimes it's about just refining. And sometimes it's about starting from ground zero. But wherever you are as a leader or as a educator or as a stakeholder, because this book really is about all stakeholders. It's about the students, the parents, the community members, the administrators, the teachers, wherever you are in that cube, and that's our metaphor, how can you contribute to working together to build that positive culture?
For those starting their leadership journey now, what advice do you have for them?
Be yourself. One thing that I went into when I started interviewing for principal jobs or for administrator jobs was I was going to be me. And if I didn't get a job, you know what? At least I didn't get a job being me. And if I got a job, they knew what they were getting into. So I was very transparent. I was very forthcoming with what my vision was, what my mission was. And perhaps if that was going to convince someone to say, yeah, this is what we need in our district, then so be it. And if it wasn't going to work out, then that's fine, because I don't want to set myself up for failure later on. So my advice to anyone getting into this position or looking to get into this position, figure out who you are. Figure out what do you stand for? What are your strengths? And what are your weaknesses, of course, as well. But when you go into that interview or when you get into that situation in front of your staff for the first time, knowing and being confident in who you are, the mission you're selling, and the vision that you're trying to impart on everyone else.
In closing, what is the most enjoyable aspect of leadership?
For me, it's just being everywhere in my school. I get a chance to impact 600 kids every day. As a teacher, you know what? I loved having that impact on my 30 kids, but now I get 600. And that's so cool. I wish I could say I knew everyone's name. I don't. But, you know, I'm getting there. I know a lot of the names. I love shaking their hands. I stand out there. I shake every car rider hand every morning. Throughout the day, I'm shaking dozens and dozens of more hands. I love being able to have a positive impact on every one of my kids. It's not always easy. There's some tough days. But for me, that makes it worth it. I go to bed tired every night, but definitely with a smile on my face.
So Adam, how can our listeners connect with you on social media?
Sure. So on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, I am at Adam DeVico, AdamDeVico. I keep it simple. I don't have any fancy usernames. It's just at Adam DeVico on every form of social media.
Please continue to check out the Aspire podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes and share your ratings and reviews. Don't forget to use the Aspire Lead hashtag as you continue the conversation on Twitter. Adam, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you having me.